Welcome inside episode 660 of the Locked On Senators podcast. I'm Ross Levitan on the outskirts of enemy territory in Winnipeg, Manitoba, alongside Brandon Piller up in the Blue Mountains. And after a tough weekend, the Ottawa Senators have moved coasts in Florida and have one more day before they take on the Lightning.
And it was a tough weekend even down in Belleville, Ross, as they lost both of their games on the road, and the Saturday game was a stinker.
We'll get into all that, plus, as we do each and every Monday, which sends prospects impressed, spoiler alert, Tyler Boucher, and more. This is the Locked On Senators podcast. It's your team every day.
Your Locked On Senators, your daily podcast on the Ottawa Senators. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm Jake Sanderson, and you're listening to Locked On Senators podcast.
I'm Tim Stützle, and you're listening to the Locked On Senators podcast.
Thank you for making Locked On Senators your first listen on this Monday, October 31st. We are free and available on all platforms, including on YouTube, where the best way you can help the show grow is to like every video by clicking the thumbs up, subscribing to the Locked On Senators channel, and being a friend by telling a friend that they can hear Mark Thought on this show each and every week. We really had a great conversation with him on Friday. He said it was a green light night no matter what in Florida. The 4 p.m. starts, 2 days off after, but they had to have had a bad taste in their mouth after allowing a franchise record 58 shots against to the Panthers.
Yeah, Ross, that bad taste in their mouth. Hopefully the only candy they got for Halloween was candy corn, because that stuff is awful, and that's about it. No Smarties, no Skittles, no Starburst, just
Reese's.
Yeah, no Reese's, just terrible, terrible taste in their mouth. And go ahead.
Can we actually talk about that? Because the Senators put out a content piece where the players were saying they ranked top five candies.
Yeah.
The American guys say Reese's.
Reese's, yeah. I'm a Reese's guy myself. And it was very, very interesting. Either people went full Skittles or Sour Patch Kids, like they're the gummies and all the chocolates are down, or flipped. Like either you're a gummies guy or you're a chocolate guy. So that was interesting to note. Pretty much everyone participated in that one. That's a good one there. Ross, I know Reese's is your number one on that list, eh?
Yeah, Smarties is right up there, too.
Nah, I'm not a Smarties guy. Another Canadian-American candy thing, Ross. Fun fact, in America, you know, Rockets for us, those little sugar things, those are called Smarties. And Smarties, not a thing down south. Our American listeners can confirm or deny that, but that's something I was tipped off to. And I don't like those Rockets anyways. So Rockets, Smarties, whatever you want to call them, nah.
Well, happy Halloween to everyone. It was a scary Saturday for the Ottawa Senators, though. Like the fact that that game was tied with 4 minutes left has to be the biggest trick I've ever seen. And they were treated to a regulation loss that they clearly deserved.
Ross, if you would have told yourself, remember when the betonline.ag odds for total season points came out? And I don't think I've heard you emphatically and confidently hammer a bet more than you did the Florida Panthers season total over under, and you hammered the under. If I would have told you on that day, the Ottawa Senators will play those same Florida Panthers without Aaron Ekblad and get outshot the way you did, I think you would have laughed me out of the podcast.
Yeah, I might have. Now, Ottawa was missing a couple guys of their own, but that was simply not enough of an effort against the Panthers. A lot went wrong, and a lot of people are starting to get into the DJ Smith slander. The DJ Smith has to go. Look, we made all these moves. The team's improved. They've got offensive firepower. They've scored 30 goals in 8 games. However, it's 8 games into the season. So I'm on the side of there's a few concerning trends, and we'll get into them, but you can't judge a coach in 8 games. And yes, some of these are still continuous problems from last year. I'll hear that argument for sure, but I'm not ready to hit that button just yet. I think we wait until at least the 15-game mark, and if it doesn't get any better, then I'm willing to have that conversation.
I mean, we talked about it with in regards to the slow start. We said if they could find a way, which this sounds terrible, but if they can find a way to be around the 500 mark, we'd be okay with that. And right now, 4-4. They're at the 500 mark. They've got a couple tough games stretch coming up, especially up against Tampa. That's never easy, especially on the road. So that'll be interesting. But I'm not panicking here. And I know maybe it sounds like excuses, but when you don't have Norris or Zub, it's going to take a couple games maybe to adjust and to see how you're going to optimize the roster you do have. And speaking of which, Ross, I was wondering when this was going to happen. D-Day has announced that Dylan Gambrell is coming into the lineup. You need the speed. You need the tenacity. You need the defensive zone coverage. And I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I do believe that Dylan Gambrell will help out defensively. Lord knows he's not an offensive guy, so he's focused on the defensive side of the game. So, you know what? You got to try something. He didn't really say who was coming out of the lineup that Dylan Gambrell will replace. But
I think it'll be Broussard.
You think so?
Yeah, based on the line rushes yesterday. And we'll get into those in the next segment. I want to stick with DJ Smith. And you mentioned making a change in the lineup is one way to certainly shake things up a little bit as they continue on this road trip. But they're 0-3 on the road this year.
Yeah.
And since DJ Smith took over in 2019, I know different quality teams, this team is 30th in points percentage on the road. They just can't figure it out. You need to win on the road to win in the NHL.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, math guy here, Ross, half of your games will be on the road. So, I mean, unless you want a perfect home record and a terrible road record and you go 41-41, you're not going to get the job done here.
So the Ottawa Senators did not practice today. They elected for an off-ice workout.
Rest is a weapon.
Oh, wait, what? Who is that?
Rest is a weapon.
Yes, rest is a weapon sometimes. But right now, I think this team just needs to get into a better rhythm. They're running around defensively like they have their heads cut off. They're trying to play man-to-man coverage in the defensive zone for an entire 60 minutes. It's not going to work. And as we've seen, it leads to puck watching. And then a guy like who was it on that first goal? Montour had the
winner. Scored the fourth, yeah.
Fourth, but on the first goal of the game, whichever defense.
Verhaeghe. I think it's Verhaeghe scored it.
But you're right. He just had Broadway wide open. I'm officially putting the stamp on that in the defensive zone, they need to start playing some zone coverage. Just know where you have to be and don't allow people in your area. And don't chase people into your area, because I keep going back to the Toronto game because that game-winning goal was so avoidable. Yeah. Batherson and Pinto were trying to play man-to-man, and the two guys on the Leafs crossed. So then the Sens guys crossed, but they bumped into each other, and now you have basically an odd man situation down below the hash marks. That doesn't happen if you play zone defense.
Well, and the man-to-man gets kind of totally screwed up when a defenseman joins the rush, right? Because then now the wingers are collapsing in towards the net. And like you said, you can only have so many guys in that slot net area. And then you got guys bumping into each other. The offense is going to pick up on that. They're going to create space and cycle the puck. And then you're just chasing. And I find, too, when you're playing like the Ottawa Senators are and you're kind of on your heels for a lot of the game, every player feels like it's up to them to fix it, right? And that's when you start puck watching, because you're like, I don't care if I have to dive out of my coverage or get away from my man. I'm going to be the one that gets that puck and clears it. I'm going to be the hero here. And everybody kind of gets that mentality. And when everybody gets that mentality, well, nobody ends up winning in that sense. So I think that's definitely something that the Ottawa Senators are going to have to work on here, because Anton Forsberg can't do it all. Like, he's been pretty good, and unfortunately the numbers don't really truly reflect how good he's been, because the Senators just aren't able to give him support and clear those rebounds and have those wide open players covered. But eventually he's not going to be able to handle all this, and this team's going to have to start improving defensively.
Elzy, in the last two games for Anton Forsberg, he's faced 96 shots. Like, what are you supposed to do?
He's done what he's supposed to do, Ross, to answer that. Like, I feel like Forsberg has done the job he's set out and been asked to do.
So he's let in 7 goals and still has a .927 save percentage in those two games. Like, I mean, this guy is carrying the team right now. And even though it's not turning into wins, you can't look in goal. So I know some people are like, hey, you know, no Cam Talbot. It'd be nice to get him back. He's on the trip. Great to see. This is a
defense. That's not a factor. Yeah, problem. Not at all. Because Ross, to those people, I would say, okay, yeah, you know what? The second goalie hasn't been good. What about Magnus Hellberg? In the game he played, he was great. I knew you'd bring
up Magnus
Hellberg. Yeah, you weren't getting away so quickly on that one. But that's the thing. Like, there, you cannot, as a hashtag goalie-friendly show, we will not hear goaltender slander. That is absolute lunacy.
No, no doubt. And there's also no doubt that we will see Anton Forsberg take on the Tampa Bay Lightning tomorrow. We'll have a full preview of that game tomorrow, but I'm going to go ahead and stamp it right now. Must-win game. It's a must-win game. You can't lose three games in a row in this Eastern Conference. They're already second.
Your division rivals, yeah. Or two rivals in the division. I would not say Tampa Bay is a straight division rival. But yeah.
They're a sister rival. They came in the league the same time.
Yes, true. Yeah, this is some sibling rivalry here. Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, we know that the younger sibling is usually the annoying one, so the Sens need to be pesky on the road in a building where they haven't done well. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I've been to a couple of those games. I was at the game where Carlson played like 41 minutes. It was ridiculous. It did go to overtime, I think. I need to look that up.
It must have if he's getting 40 minutes. It had to have.
It's the most single player time on ice in the last 10 years in the NHL.
I was going to say Jake Sanderson would like a word if that stat goes outside the NHL.
No, I really need to find this. Here it is. Bang. God, I'm so good at looking up stats.
Credit to you.
Oh, it's full seasons. Come on. This is garbage. Basically, if they don't win this game, though, I'm not going to be surprised, but I'll tell you one thing for free, Pilsy. I will be absolutely disappointed in the effort for sure, because this is a team. You can't go 0-4 on the road and then double it down by saying that you're going to lose every road game against your division rivals. It was Buffalo, then Toronto, then Florida. They can't go 0-4 on the road all in the division. It just, you can't.
No, that's fair. And I don't know if I'm fully hopping on the wagon of a must-win game here. Just because, Ross, I'm nervous that putting a must-win game up against the Tampa Bay Lightning on the road is just setting yourself up for failure. I'm not going to go must-win, but I'm going to go can't-lose. How about that? It's not a must-win for me, but it is a can't-lose game.
Go ahead.
If I'm correct on our must-win tally, Ross, the Senators are 2-0 in the must-win. The home opener was a must-win, and the game up against the Arizona Coyotes was also a must-win. So, hey, you know what? If that's what needs to be done, if Ross Levitan has to go on the Locked On Senators podcast and declare a must-win to get these boys going, that's what you got to do.
So I've looked up that game I was referencing, and there were extending circumstances. Cody Ceci got hurt, only played 5 minutes, and Mark Borowiecki was kicked out of the game after 21 seconds of ice time. So they're pretty much rolling with 4D. Erik Karlsson, in a regulation game, played 36-34.
Wow.
But wait, that's actually the second most time on ice against Tampa by an Ottawa Senator in the last 10 years. Thomas Chabot in 2019 played 37-50.
Yeah, I remember that.
And if we go entire NHL, I've brought it back to 2010. That's the second and fourth most single game ice times in the National Hockey League.
It just goes to show you that this team has had a kind of affinity for building their back end relying on one guy.
And remember, they got Chabot. We're like, hey, we're going to have two of these guys.
No.
Carl gets moved. But hey, wait. Is Jake Sanderson on track to become the Senators' number one defenseman? And what are Sens prospects up to outside the NHL? All that's coming up right after Pilsy has a quick word from our friends at Bet Online. Because now the Sens are losing, I'm mad at Bet Online.
Yeah, it's been tough sledding for us. But the key is, Ross, there's one spot you can go to find all the latest odds, news, scores, player performance, props, totals, over, under, money line, puck line, spreads, whatever you like, they got it at betonline.net. It's the trusted online sportsbook of the Locked On Podcast Network. And not just hockey, guys. World Series is heating up here. Ross, I don't know about you, but I don't care about baseball usually, but I'm rooting so hard for the Phillies in this. Like, you can't have the cheating Astros. I know that was a while ago, but a lot of those guys are still on that team. You can't have them rise to glory. What does that say to the kids, that cheating can get you where you want to go? No, you can't have it. So I'm going to be betting on the Phillies, but there's also football. It's Bengals prime time, so it's a big game for me tonight. And basketball, yeah, that's kind of lower on my tier. But hey, all you hoop heads, you can get your basketball betting in at betonline.ag. So go to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. Guys, it's betonline.net where the game starts.
So the Senators have started this regular season great on home ice, but they can't win on the road, which is unfortunate because their next game is on the road in Tampa Bay. A 4-4 record, 8 points in 8 games. Now, the optimist in me says the Ottawa Senators had 4 wins in their first 20 games last year, Pilsy, and they've already matched that right now. But the East is a dogfight. The only team that I think is in more shambles than Ottawa, who's only lost 2 in a row, mind you. Okay, there's 2. Columbus is, wow. I bought into them taking a step forward. And the Toronto Maple Leafs, who just lost 3 in a row on the road in California, including to San Jose and to the Anaheim Ducks. So it's not all just a Senators problem. It seems like an Ontario problem right now, winning on the road. But for Ottawa, they'll have that opportunity Tuesday against Tampa. But Pilsy, I want to get into a little bit more what you were talking about, building the decor on one guy. How, with the personnel they have now, because they're not just going to go out and grab Victor Hedman off waivers. You know, you can't just acquire a elite top defenseman. You have to draft and develop them. And they're in the process of doing that with Jake Sanderson right now. But how would you shake things out? Because for me, you have to do something, anything, to stop the bleeding in defensive zone.
Is Dylan Hetherington the answer?
No. Oh, wait. Ask me again.
Is Dylan Hetherington the answer?
Probably not.
Yeah, that was bang on. And they took away Belleville's captain. I know we're not at Belleville yet, but the guy got named captain just a little while ago. Now, no wonder Belleville's losing. They're without a leader. Unbelievable here.
So you're next.
Yes, I am an expert in Belleville captains being called up. They took Logan Shaw away from the team last year too. You can't have it if you're the Belleville Senators. But this is the thing, Ross, when you ask that question, I don't think the Ottawa Senators need another elite defenseman. And obviously you would like one, but like you said, they don't exactly grow on trees to be picked off easily. It takes a lot of assets, either investing and drafting and developing or trading away assets to acquire one. Honestly, they need a replica of Artem Zub. They need a Zub 2, which would be great, but they don't even have a Zub 1 right now. But even a guy like your next door neighbor, Ross, in Dylan DeMello, they just need steady hands that, like, someone that if you're on a big pirate ship or whatever, you don't need a captain yelling out orders and stuff. You just need a guy that the captain can be like, I trust that guy to put his hand on the rudder and on the steering wheel, and he's going to steer us. He's not the rambunctious leader. He's not the best guy ever, but I know he's going to steer us a straight path. That's all they need, and they can't seem to find those guys, or they find them like Dylan DeMello, and they can't seem to keep them. Or they find him, like Mark Mathot was a great example of that. He's someone that could be relied upon. And without Zub, this whole House of Cards defensive core is just, it's falling away with a light gust. It's all crumbling.
Yes.
That was a lot of analogies in there. Sorry, guys. That's how my brain works.
No, that was good. And I mean, I've been watching Dylan DeMello pretty closely this year, and it's perfect. Like, it just so low maintenance, I think, is the word that you're looking for.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yep.
Otis, a guy who, when he's playing at his best, is just behind the scenes, making good stick reads, giving it to his partner. And I mean, Travis Hamonic is one of my guys this year, But at the same time, like, it'd be nice if he was playing probably 16, 17 minutes a game, not upwards of 20. And then this, the way that DJ Smith relies on Thomas Chabot needs to change. It needs to change. Even against Florida, like, I didn't think Branstrom had the best first period, but then he's only playing 13 minutes the whole game. They were trailing the whole time. Why are you not getting one of your most elusive defensemen puck movers out there? Branny moves pucks. There's another good soundbite we got to get. Branny moves pucks. But they need to get him playing more than 13 minutes a game.
But, Ross, I think to do that, you got to move him to the right side, especially with Zubo, right? Like, you can only play so many left side defensemen at a time.
100%. They need to do that then, because having a right side of Holden, Hamonic, and Zaitsev, like, that wouldn't cut it in Belleville for me, man.
Yeah, that's tough. It's tough.
And when you look even further, like, that right side that I just mentioned, those three guys, their cap hit is like $9 million.
Yeah.
They should be playing better than they are. But
the I'm pretty sure that the cap hit of the right side is more than the left side, because you got Branny basically on ELC, Sanderson on ELC, and Thomas Schmott makes $8 million.
Yeah. That's a whoa right there. They need to do something. And, I mean, you mentioned Thomas Chabot making $8 million. We got to call a spade. He's not playing like an $8 million player.
No, he certainly isn't. And but then you got to look towards DJ Smith. That, like you mentioned, you can't. I know Thomas Chabot will sit there with a microphone in front of his face and say, "I like playing the big minutes. I can handle it. Whatever." But man, this guy has played heavy minutes in meaningless games for years. It's got to bog him down. He needs to be able to play a comfortable 24, 25 minutes. And even that's a lot of minutes right there, but that is much more manageable for a guy that's going to be relied upon in an 82-game season. You can't have him playing upwards of 27, 28, even 29 minutes a night. Like, it's especially with how he's playing. Like, if he's out there lighting it up, getting stops defensively, moving the puck, transitioning, getting points, then sure, you know what? You play the hot hand. But he's not the hot hand right now, and he's getting overworked.
He is first in the National Hockey League in time on ice per game since DJ Smith took over behind the bench for the Ottawa Senators. It's 3 seconds more. I'm pulling it up if you're watching on YouTube. But Drew Doughty is in second. Seth Jones is fourth, Brent Burns is third on this list. Like, it's overworked.
But a lot of those minutes, it's out of necessity for DJ Smith. But
look at the shorthanded time on ice compared to everyone else. Like, he's the only guy out here who's not playing like defensive minutes. He needs to be a guy who's fresh to be able to be elusive at the offensive blue line, not fumble pucks that end up in empty netters the other way. Like, I'm not saying that was a great pass actually by Basson. It's probably more risk on him versus Chabot. But I mean, you saw once he fumbled it, it was like, okay, like,
you're done.
I'm not winning this race.
Yeah.
Because I've played 35, 45, 55. May as well play all 60 minutes in the game at that point. But I'm just looking at a situation here with Thomas Chabot where less is more. And we saw that last year. When he plays 24, 25 minutes, he's at his best. And they need him at his best because there's not a whole lot of depth behind him and Jake Sanderson.
Yeah, that's a glaring stat, Ross, that shorthanded time on ice. Like, yeah. That's crazy that he's getting all those minutes without that special teams time. Because all the other guys are getting, like, I shouldn't say it's similar because he's up there in power play, but all those guys are getting high power play time too. But Thomas Chabot is, like, those shorthanded time on ice, like, that's him coming out with, like, 15 seconds left in the PK and they're flipping over to even strength. Like, that's not him being out there as a shorthanded guy. So, yeah, it's very interesting.
How long before Jake Sanderson is the undisputed number one defenseman on this team?
It's tough because anything we say here is liable to be an overreaction when we're looking at an 8-game sample size. But
oh, good.
I initially, Ross, I think in the summer, if you would have asked me this, I would have said maybe 3 years, like after ZLC. I think that's where I would have been at. After the entry-level contract for Sanderson, he gets paid big boy dollars. I think then he gets moved up and Thomas Chabot gets moved down. But if we're just basing off what we've seen so far, I wouldn't be surprised if Sanderson is the lowest paid defenseman on this team with the most responsibility in the upcoming seasons here.
So I'm not getting ahead of myself, but I will just point out that in 2 years' time, Thomas Chabot makes $10 million in real money for three straight years. So I'm not saying that there's a clock ticking for him to take that next step into being a 60, 65 point defenseman, which I think is pretty fair to ask for.
He's got to hit 50. He's got to hit 50. Yeah, with the amount he's playing.
He's on his way to doing that last year before the injury took him out. And there's glimpses of it, man. But in the D zone, like Carlson got some heat from fans because of his defensive zone coverage. But he was so good at the other end that they didn't really have a leg to stand on. Thomas Chabot has some defensive issues himself, but he's not then contributing to 2-3 goals a game where it's like, oh, okay, you know what? We'll take the good with the bad. Like a quarterback that throws interceptions but touchdowns at the same time. This is a guy who's checking down for 5-yard passes over and over again as the offense needs help. They need that deep ball to put it into a football talk, but this team needs to shake it out, and this could be an overreaction Monday. Happy for that to be. It's a must win for me tomorrow, and we'll see how the boys respond. After a quick break, we're going to touch on what the lineup shakeup is in Ottawa, and then Belleville. I mean, oh boy, we'll touch on that. Plus, Oscar Pistol Pettersson is absolutely red hot offensively. All that, plus Tyler Boucher gets on the board again and more. But first, here's a quick word from one of our favorite sponsors. Happy Monday. It's Halloween. If you're listening to this trick-or-treating with your kids, make sure you steal some for yourself. Those Reese's, not Reese's, Reese's pieces are always good. I'm a big Snickers guy, too. Snickers or Mars Bar, Pilsy?
You know, earlier in my life, I would have said Mars Bar. I don't know why, but I've grown, and, you know, I need that extra protein. So having those peanuts in the Snickers really helps. But Ross, if you're asking me Snickers or Mars Bar, you know what my true answer is?
Shawarma Palace.
Nope, close. Throw those in the garbage. Get you a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, Built Bar. No free ads, but you guys know we love Built Bar. But yeah, that's definitely. Ross, have you tried those, the King Reese's? Now the Reese's thing is in my head. I almost said it. The King one with the little pieces inside of it. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
The only problem is it only comes 2 per package, and I can go eat.
Yeah, no kidding. They also have one where there's potato chips in the giant one. Have you tried that one?
Oh, no, I don't think I'd like that one.
It's actually good because you get the salty crunchy in there, but
pretzels. It's a bit of a weird one. Pretzel ones too.
Yeah, I'm a big pretzel guy. As a German heritage guy, give me some pretzels.
All right, well, the Belleville Sens were tied in a knot themselves over the weekend on the road. 8-2 losers in the second game, and I don't have the score in front of me on the first one. How'd they do in Milwaukee other than losing that one as well?
I've got it right here looking at their schedule. 4-2, so not great. But Sogi, that was his first game back, Ross, against Milwaukee, and he had a good game. 37 saves on 40 shots, so one of them obviously was an empty netter, so you can't fault Sogi there. And if we're on the Belleville train, Ross, this is absolutely wild. Sometimes the AHL gets out of hand, but let's skip over to the Rockford game now.
Where are you going with this?
Belleville was 1-for-8 on the power play, so that's a lot of power play time. Rockford went 4-for-12. Like, almost this whole game was spent in special teams here, and there were some big pims being handed out. I mean, Sabby had 26, Igor had 10, lot of guys had 4. 26 for Sabby, yeah.
I need to go through this. Okay, delay of game at the end of the first period for Scott Sabourin. Then in the second period, a roughing and a 10-minute misconduct. Then he comes back and gets another 10-minute misconduct and a cross-checking penalty in the third period. I have not seen that many PIMs in one game before.
Yeah, so, I mean, their undoing was, I didn't catch the highlights or I wasn't able to watch this game, so there must have been things boiling over, and the boys just said, okay, we don't care about the score of this game anymore, we're just going to go crazy here. But if you do care about the score, Crooker with 2 points, that's nice. Yep. And my guy, Jake Lucchini, kept things rolling. He had a goal in each of those games. He now has 11 points in 8 games. Woo, sheesh.
Yo, how about Scott Sabourin before his second misconduct getting the primary assist on the Cruikshank goal to make it 8-2?
Attaboy, Sabby.
It was 8-0 at one point. You know when you know a game is really in the trash? When you pull your starter and then put him back in afterwards.
That happened? Oh, yes. Damn.
Tough. Mando gets the start. He gets pulled after, I believe it was 4. Sogi comes in, doesn't have it either, so they go back to Mando.
I mean, you can't blame Sogi. Like, he just played the night before, and he's just getting back from injury. But, oh, boy. I would like to have another Laval Rocket game, please, Mr. Scheduler. Please. Well,
Mr. Schedule is listening because, as we discussed last week on the show, their schedule, I believe it's 13 straight games until they come to Manitoba, where they're playing divisional opponents now.
That should help.
This is one of their rare times in the AHL where you get on the plane, which you don't often see. Usually they'll take the bus no matter how far it goes.
Yeah. Right,
they come home. Their first game at home is against Lehigh Valley. That's outside the division. And then afterwards, it's all in the division up until December 17th and 18th, a game where you can hear me on the call with David Foote. Footy on the air. What an absolute beauty he is. Now, to the world of Sens prospects, where it's a little bit better news than what we saw in Belleville, although you could say that that's a lot of Sens prospects who didn't have a great weekend when you look at Belleville fared. But let's start with our boy, Tyler Boucher, gets his 7th goal of the season. This year's going about as good for the 67s, who are 9-1, and for Tyler Boucher, who has 7 goals in 8 games, or sorry, 9 games, as you could expect.
Yeah, and Ross, that goal was not your typical Tyler Boucher goal. Like, that was a nice passing play back and forth, one-timer. It wasn't like a greasy one at the net or anything like that. Like, he's really evolving and showing people that, hey, I'm not just this violent, checking, third-line physical winger that I've kind of been labeled at. I've got more tricks up my sleeve, and I can be relied upon as a top offensive guy.
Yeah, it's awesome to see. Because with Tyler Boucher before, you're just like, you know what? He'll bang some pucks in front of the net. Yeah. He's got a good release, but that was sick. 10 points in 9 games now for Tyler Boucher. And I think my favorite part of it is how well the team's done, because that'll give him more opportunities coming up later in the year to see what he's got at that next level. And I would love to see Tyler Boucher get a little bit more of a playoff taste than what we saw from him this past season. To a guy we continually talk about every Monday when we do our prospect roundup, it's Oscar Pettersson. Another 2 goals and an assist this weekend for him. Like, at what point does he actually get an opportunity in the SHL? I know Rogla is a really, really good team. He's had 2 games there where he's played a total, not average, a total of 2 minutes and 23 seconds in 2 games at the SHL level. But when he's playing in J20, he's dominating. 12 goals, 21 points in 17 games, 29 PIMs. He got that 25 in one game where someone tried to fight him, plus 11. Like, for a third-round pick, I'm loving what I'm seeing from Oscar Pettersson.
Keep him in the J20, though, Ross. Don't have him wasting away in the SHL.
Okay, I like that. You think it seems like, I'm not going to ask you to analyze the J20 situation in Sweden, but I'd say he's got a pretty decent opportunity here to make the World Junior squad.
Yeah, well, he got invited to that open camp session, right? Or was that Oliver Johansson? Am I mixing him up?
No, it's Pettersson, but he got invited, so it's just like an exhibition game that they're playing in November.
But people were saying that typically is a nod to having a good inside track on the World Juniors.
Yep, you could say that.
So that's nice. We definitely want to see him, because we've been lacking some Swedish prospects in the World Juniors. Usually that's like a guarantee that there's Sens prospects on Team Sweden. So I'd like to see that back again.
Stephen Halliday had a sick goal against Minnesota for Ohio State on the weekend, and no assists, Pilsy, in his last 3 games.
Not a disher.
We got to catch up with Steven soon, man. Ask how it's going in college. It looks like he's having a blast, man, going to those Ohio State football games and everything. But it's great to see. He's leading. Like, Ohio State's a good hockey program. He's tied for the team lead in points.
Yeah, he's been impressive. And Ross, that doesn't really surprise me. Like, he seemed like a guy that was dialed in. Like, when we talked to him, not a whole lot of jokes, you know, not a whole lot of getting off track, like, very focused, very... What's that?
Loves tennis, though.
Yeah, but that even highlights it even more. Like, that's... Tennis is a game where you're out there on... I'm not talking about doubles. Doubles tennis is just a waste of time. When you're out there, you're on your own, and you're fully responsible for everything. You got to think like two moves ahead. You got to be focused. You got to be trying to outsmart your opponents. So that doesn't surprise me at all. And Ross, speaking of guys, we got to get back on the show here. How about the mayor, Carson Latimer, 2 points, including a power play goal. He's got 8 points in 11 games, and he's on a tough Raiders team. Like, that, the Prince Albert Raiders were looking like the Las Vegas Raiders of last weekend. They had 0 points, if you're trying to make that connection reference there. But he's still shining. So Carson Latimer, yeah, that's another guy we love having on this show. So glad to see him still putting up points in a tough spot.
Yes, 100%. We'll have to do that. Speaking of tough spots, I need boots on the ground. I will have them in 2 weekends from now. Tyler Cleven is -7. With no points in 7 games, 21 penalty minutes. Tough, tough start for the team as well. They haven't been doing that great. They lost to Arizona State this weekend.
Damn.
Yeah. So we need to pick it up, because this guy is going to be important in the future, especially we're talking about with the Sens. They haven't been able to necessarily have guys that can push around in the offense, in the defensive zone, and clear the front of the net. He's one of those bulldozer type players, but you wanted to see him take another step forward this year. He was kind of a second pair guy last year.
He's a top guy now.
The guy. We need to see him be the guy going forward these next couple weeks. I'm going to the game. They're playing Denver too. Saturday night. It's going to be a sick, sick night at the Palace on the Prairies in Grand Forks. So I'll have a full report there at Sen Central on Twitter. But yeah, the numbers are a little concerning, because we made a lot of comments about how the offensive pop was in his game last year. This guy's been scoring goals, but we need to see a bit more of that going forward. Nothing to report really from Philip Nordberg either. Still in the Allsvenskan, so that's good. He's taking that step out from junior to play in that top league. And Oliver Johansson finally got on the scoreboard, Pilsy. He's kind of the forgotten prospect, as you referred to him as. But since he's been on loan now, had a 2-goal game on the 26th, plus 2-3 shots, but otherwise absolutely nothing. So I still think we need to see some more from him.
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah, Pistol Pete's kind of taking over his shine, that's for sure. And Ross, you know, we give a lot of, or we don't give a lot of love to a guy like Ben Roger, but he found himself on Sen's prospects highlights, as he had not a goal, not an assist. No, come on. Let's stay serious here. But he did have a really good goal line save. He used that massive frame to stop a puck from creeping in past the goalie with the Kings and Frontenacs, and makes a great great defensive play there. So, you know what? When Ben Roger does something good, we'll give him a shout-out. So that was a nice defensive play there.
Yes, and as we should, as a goalie-friendly show, we'll finish off in between the pipes, where Levi Merilainen seems to have figured it out. He had a 2-goal against on 21 shots over the weekend, but he's also got 3 shutouts in the last 2 weeks. So yeah, he's starting to figure it out at the top level for the season. His save percentage is up to .928 and a .186 goals against in 12 games. So really great to see that he's stolen that starting job back. He's played 12 games. Joel Blomqvist, the Penguins prospect, who ironically was taken with the pick that Ottawa sent to Pittsburgh for Matt Murray. He's only played 7 games. So Merilainen has taken that starter's job. He's got the best numbers on the team by far. So I was almost out, and he's drawn me back in. Levi Merilainen, great little stretch here for him. All right, I think that was a pretty efficient 5 minutes of prospect talk. Got a little bit of everything. Still want to see a bit more from Ridly Gregg. Tough weekend for the Belleville Sens, but no points for him in 2 games as well. And he's a guy where some fans are already like, hey, let's go. We need to see them bring up Ridly Gregg. No, let him get there and marinate in the minors. However, Ottawa did make a move at center. These are the practice lines from yesterday. Tim Stützle between Brady Tkachuk and Drake Batherson. Nothing changed there. However, we've seen this on the power play, but now at 5-on-5, Shane Pinto out there with Alex DeBrincat and Claude Giroux. Mark Kastelic gets a well-earned promotion to the third line. between Tyler Mott and Mathieu Joseph. And as Pilsy alluded to earlier in the show, the Gambrell is holding him. And he gets to play at center with Parker Kelly and Austin Watson. The decor, yikes. Shabbat Holden, Sanderson Hamonic, Brandstrom, and 22. Talbot was on the ice for practice, though. That was great to see. Forsberg went out there, stretched, took a couple shots. He got out of there. And then a bag skate for the guys afterwards. I am extremely on board of Forsberg not having to take part in that bag skate. He had his bagger. It was called a game on Saturday against Florida. But let's focus down the middle. Pilsy, we figured Pinto would get that first opportunity to move up and play in a top six role. Do you like giving Cathy the extra ice time as well?
We'll dive deeper into this in tomorrow's episode, Ross. But just quickly, I think it makes more sense to move Casty to that third line rather than have Gambrell there. So, yeah, I do like it.
Right, but even still, like the opposite would be to have Brassard between Mott and Joseph, if we're going to look like that.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I don't think you don't take Casty out and replace him with Gambrell. I don't think that's the right decision. That's not sending the right message.
Okay. Artem Zub can't get back into this lineup soon enough.
Yeah,
for that's real. That's my very deep dive breakdown into this Sens decor.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
My goodness. All right, we'll have more tomorrow on the show. As always, you can drop us a note on YouTube in the comments. We always appreciate that. And for making us your first listen each and every weekday, Monday through Friday. I want to give a shout out to a new show on the network as well, Locked On NHL Prospects. Hattie is running that show, and first episode was today, and it was actually really, really good. So I'm excited to have that as a part of the network. We'll get Hattie on and not quiz him, but get his takes on Senators prospects and timelines and all that good stuff. But if you are into prospects, trust me, our way of doing things is not changing. We are still going to be deep diving into the NHL draft like we do each and every year. But now you can hear it 5 days a week throughout the season as well. So go check that out, Locked On NHL Prospects, wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, go give them a subscription as well. Pilsy, any final thoughts here as we have one more sleep before our third must-win game of the year?
You know, the vibes are a little low right now, but get out there, get trick-or-treating, have a happy Halloween, get your candy, get your chocolates, your chips, your sweets, everything, and just enjoy yourself before a crucial must-win, can't-lose game tomorrow night.
Yes, ha ha ha, yes!
Make sure you're stealing all the best candy from your kid. That's the play for sure. And for today,
that's why you have kids, right?
Right. Yeah, because you don't at a certain age. Okay, here's the final question: at what age are you too old to suit up and go trick or treating?
I would say grade 7 should be your last year.
Grade 7. Come on, dude.
That's too late.
No, you're 11, 12 years old in grade 7.
Yeah, I feel like that.
Okay.
That's it. I don't know. Maybe I hit my growth spurt early, Ross. So when I was in grade 8, I was already like pushing 6 feet. So people were giving me looks like, come on, man, we need to see some ID here. So maybe that was just my experience. But grade 7 for me is the last year. Like if you're going out trick-or-treating, I mean.
I don't even know what he's thinking. He's just a complete brickhead. He's got nothing up there. Bad guy, bad player. But what a joke he is.
Yeah, what a joke you are. Trick-or-treating in grade 7, dude. For me, it's once you get your driver's license. 16.
Okay.
16. Because then you can't show up at someone's house with a beard and be like, hey, can I have some candy? Be no difference at March 10th rather than October 31st. But no, at the same time, hey, if you want to suit up, if you want to go run around in your costumes, have a good time, by all means, we're not judging you here on the Locked On Senators podcast. Just don't bang on my door with a beard and don't have at least bring someone else's kit.
There you go.
Again, cheek. But no, Alfie's going to dress up as a pumpkin today. Let us know what your best costumes are. We already talked last week. You can go back and check out the podcast where the Senators had their Halloween party. And you're never too old to dress up. I want to be.
Oh, yes, exactly. Agreed.
It's just when you're asking strangers for candy that you might have to draw a line somewhere, especially after dark. Like you could be scaring these people walking in, like a 6'12" Pilsy walking up to someone's door saying, hey, you got any more of those Reese's? All right. We really appreciate everyone making us your first listen of the day. And even though the Senators are on a bit of a skid, you can't lose three in a row. And they haven't done that just yet. We'll find out tomorrow. We'll have a full game day preview later on this week. Ian Mendez will join the show. We also have a Sen Central Citizen this Wednesday. But for today, we say goodbye. For Brandon Piller, I'm Ross Levitan, and this has been the Locked On Senators podcast. It's your team every day.